section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
More Michael Elgin news. Bound for Glory is this Sunday, and a surprise return on Raw. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So Michael Elgin has quit Ring of Honor. So what's the story behind this, Aaron?
Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting. He tweeted out that he said, "Hey guys, sorry, but that's not going to cut it." And so I quit. So I first things first. Let's just get the big thing out of the way. Do you think that this is a work?
It's a complete angle, Aaron. I believe it's an angle. There's no way that he would quit on Twitter. That is so unprofessional. And if he does this, he's basically committing wrestling suicide. Ring of Honor won't accept him. TNA's not going to accept him. And the WWE's going to pass on him now, because if they see that he's going to quit on Twitter, what's going to happen when he goes to, you know, like a major promotion?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I believe that this is actually an angle. And I'm wondering, with everything, I'm wondering if this entire thing has been a work with him getting staying in Canada. I'm wondering if it's a work.
You know what? I don't think it's been a work. I do agree with you, though, that if he does, then if he this is, you know, he really did quit, I do think that is a little wrestling suicide. You know, he'll make money on the indies and he'll be able to draw some money. But the problem is he actually kind of blasted TNA a little bit a little while ago. So and TNA, not that they wouldn't take him, but they may not offer him as much money. They may lowball him a little bit. And honestly, with WWE, I don't think that he is WWE material. I think that he has a little bit of a look, but I don't think he's too short. And that's the problem. And it, you know, they'll, as they refer to him as a vanilla midget, they probably wouldn't take somebody like him. He works, I think, best in Ring of Honor or in a TNA. So I don't see him going much many other places is the downside. So I don't agree with you. I don't think that this is an angle, a worked angle. I think that this is actually legit.
So do you think he's going to try out for baseball? He's going to give it one more shot?
No.
Yeah. It's because, all right, hypothetically, let's say that's what he's really doing. That's a mistake. He's making really good money, especially with Ring of Honor. And he, like, when I saw him wrestle at Dreamwave, I know he got paid pretty good for going to that show. That's because he's in Ring of Honor. When he's mm-hmm. going to be an indie guy, after 3 months, it's like same thing. Like if a guy leaves WWE for the next 3 months at indie shows, he is making a lot of money. And then the money starts to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. I mean, someone like RVD, it's different. He's going to get what you know, he's going to get
he's established, though. He is somebody. He is a name who's been there for a long time. Michael Elgin is only known by really hardcore wrestling fans and only known because he's on Ring of Honor television. The moment that he's not on there anymore, I agree with you. We're not going to see a whole lot of him.
And that's sad because he's one of those guys who just knows his stuff, and he's like 26. He still has a good 10 years left. And it's just sad because, you know, it's just really sad. I mean, I really hope he does something wrestling related, but I still believe this is an angle. He'll show up and something will happen. But, you know, we'll find out this Saturday. Well, I guess we're not going to the show in Michigan, but we'll hear about reports from it. And I really hope this is a good angle. And it actually got some people talking about Ring of Honor again. So, you know, that's the other thing to look at it. But, did Ring of Honor ever respond?
No, they haven't. At least not since I've seen.
Now, you know, moving on to WWE stuff, SmackDown just had their 15th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some pretty cool stuff on the network. I'm just wondering, did you resubscribe?
Not yet. Pay-per-view's not until, three Sundays? So, 2 Sundays? So
something like that.
That's when I'm resubscribing.
So you're going to wait. You're going to wait until that Sunday to resubscribe.
Which actually, before we really get into the thick of things, one of the things that WWE had talked about was this is when a lot of people's subscriptions are expiring from WrestleMania. And let me ask you this. So, you know, there were some that, you know, who signed up right away, like myself, who let their subscription expire. And that's going to be the first wave. This is going to be the next big wave. Do you think they're going to see a massive drop off?
You know, I've been thinking about that, but they did something recently. They started adding more SmackDowns, and there's actually one where I sent you the picture earlier where I'm in it, believe it or not, saying you suck to Kurt Angle. And it's real quick. I'm only in there for like a couple seconds, but I frame by frame took a picture on each one because, you know, I wanted to. And the guy next to me did not look too pleased because, well, he was texting. And that was kind of a new thing back then. So
this was like 30 years ago is what you're saying.
Well, it's 2002. So it's 12 years ago. And you were actually at the show, too.
Oh, was I?
Yes. I actually we had an extra ticket. Somehow we got an extra ticket and you came and I gave you the ticket and then you got in. But you sat nosebleed.
I do remember that, actually. Yes.
So it was in 2002. I don't remember where you were. I don't know if you're in Bloomington then, but
no, not yet.
OK, but yeah, it was kind of cool, though. We had the extra ticket and we're able to get you to at least go to the show. But yeah, so that was kind of cool to me.
Do you think, though, so adding SmackDown, you think that's a pretty big deal for the network?
Them adding the SmackDown stuff was kind of cool to me, at least, because there were some shows. There was one of the shows I went to. They need to start adding other stuff and having another, like, other features on it as well. I rewatched one of the Legend houses recently and I was like, oh, this is kind of neat. But if you have the network and you watch that, you don't, and you've watched the countdowns, realistically, you just have wrestling on there. I wish that they would do more Beyond the Rings. I wish they would do more documentary stuff, but they're just pulling stuff like stuff that you've seen before from the vault. They really need to like push something else right now. They did Nitro and they had the Monday Night War stuff, but hey, this week there is no Monday Night War.
Mm-hmm.
And when are they going to bring the thing about Goldberg in? They only touched on him for a few minutes in the Stone Cold one.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my other problem with the network. When they start putting stuff out, they put it out like the Monday Night War is supposed to be on Tuesdays, and then they moved it 1 week to Monday, and then they decide not to run it. You need to be consistent on when stuff gets put out.
I wholeheartedly agree. And I think that the content that they have that's currently on there, I actually took a look today because, you know, I am, of course, going to resubscribe. And I took a look today and it was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'm going to be able to see all of this stuff that I haven't seen yet. So there's a few Monday Night Wars that I have not seen. There's a couple of new documentaries that they've added, the countdown, that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to watching that stuff. I really think, though, that they need to have a little bit better of a cadence, because I think the one problem I see with the network, I think the network needs to be around for a long time. I think that this is something that they cannot get rid of. But the problem that I see with it is that it's all wrestling, and that there's so much wrestling that I think that people might get a little bored with it. Because I don't know about it. You know, someone who's listening to the podcast right now, you know, you might be different than myself, in which I don't like to watch a ton of old wrestling matches. I like to watch some, you know, some of the bigger ones, typically a WrestleMania or, you know, just a really big match like a Punk versus a Cena, that sort of thing. But I don't like to watch, you know, just a random SmackDown. You know, that's not something I would like to do. And so I'm more interested in the storyline. So seeing a little documentary about it, that's something that really interests me. So if they keep putting that stuff out, I'm going to keep subscribing and stay a subscriber. But they just add content and it's, you know, like 1991 WCW Nitros. I have zero interest in that. I have zero interest in those.
You know what? The one thing I think would be interesting if they did this, and they're going to steal this idea because, of course, they listen to our show. I would love to have a recap of like either a quarter, like for instance, 2001, the first quarter, or like the first 6 months or the entire year, and have it as a documentary. Do an hour and a half long documentary, and you talk about what happened that year.
Not even a quarter. I would do a year.
Well, you could,
and do a full hour, if not more, because there's certainly, you know, you talk about last year, there's Daniel Bryan and his rise.
And then that's the thing. You talk about what happened, and then you'll release like a, like, for instance, let's say something big happened on Thunder. Well, then you release that Thunder that something big happened. So then you're like, you know what? I might go watch that one. Or that's why if you did it like, you know, for a while there, you'd have to do it yearly. But with the Monday Night Wars going on, you could do it every quarter or every 6 months. And you could have an hour and a half long documentary. And you've already taped stuff with people. So you just have to start splicing things in and then maybe interview someone else to add new content onto that.
Well, and you know, honestly, too, what would be really great is to have very specific experiences. So something that you said, you know, about the Monday Night War in particular, let's just say that they had in there the NWO angle. And so they show, you know, the Bash at the Beach and they say, click here to watch this match.
Exactly.
And then you can click it and actually watch the match in its entirety. Because honestly, I know so much about that Bash at the Beach because of the ending. I know nothing about the match itself. I don't know if it was even a decent match. I just know what happened at the end. That's it. That's all I know about it. And I think that'd be something that'd be really neat. You know, click here to see Bret Hart taking on Stone Cold in that famous match. You know, click here to see Stone Cold versus HBK in that famous match. That sort of thing. I think that would really help make it that much better because, like I said, I don't watch too many old matches. But if you give me an opportunity to watch them like that, then yes, I will watch it.
Yeah, and that's what I believe that they should add as a documentary. And they don't have to add it weekly. They can add one, you know, once a month, once a quarter. You could do it that way, and then people would be like, you know what? I want to see that because that was really good. And you have like an hour and a half long thing. You know, it reminds me of Barbed Wire City. Yeah, something that we've both watched, and I thought that was great because they went through basically a timeline of the entire time ECW was around.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that on the WWE Network as well, but that's where I think you need more people editing stuff and getting more approval from Vince and whoever else you have to, you know, get approval from.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it'd be really great because, you know what, let's just say you're like, man, I wonder what WCW was like back in 98, and you could do a full recap of that year, or you break it up because guess what, if it's a really big year, because the one thing, you know, for example, like a Daniel Bryan, his stuff wasn't just a quarter, his stuff was, half of a year. So you would really want to focus in on that and then focus in on some other really big storylines. And that'd be really cool. And so I agree. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah. So let's move on to some WWE programming. So I can't believe it, but The Rock has come back to Brooklyn. What are your thoughts, dude?
I was insanely surprised. That is not what I expected. I, of course, expected to have Big Show come out or, you know, have Henry or somebody. I don't know. Just somebody to come out. But I was really just perplexed to see Rock because that didn't make any sense. It's not like he's got a movie that's out right now. It's not like he's got a movie that's coming out here real soon. And so I was just like, whoa, like this is really awesome. And that pop that he got was so massive. That was insane. That the roof blew off. There were people who just were so I'm getting goosebumps kind of talking about it, to be honest. It was just an insane reaction. And I think that's something that, you know, people, of course, talk about Stone Cold, how much money he drew. And I'm not saying that he didn't. He obviously did. But I honestly think that The Rock, though, was the guy who he was the man. He was the Hulk Hogan of that era. And even still, because if he still gets that reaction, you know, he's been retired pretty much for what? 12 years.
It's been a long time, but you know, the one thing I will say about The Rock, he always credits WWE for basically giving him his start. And I got to give credit to that guy because some people will just turn their back on it and just be like, they didn't do anything for me, like Goldberg. But The Rock has always said, you know, if they ask him, hey, since you're in the area, do you want to come and do this thing? And Rock comes, but he's there for a while. It's not like he just shows up. You know, 5 minutes prior, he'll go in there and he's like how it was. But I also think that when he was looking around to the fans and seeing the reaction he got, I think he was like, this is where I started, you know, and now I'm a big movie star. I'm making, you know, 50 some million dollars a year doing movies. But this is where I feel most at home. So I got it. And he's very humble about it. I saw a thing where some people from TMZ stopped him and he just sat there and talked to him like he's like, I have a meeting, but, you know, I'll give you a few minutes. And they brought up wrestling and stuff. And he actually talked about it for a while. And you're just like, you know, Goldberg, you bring it up and he's basically like, yeah, it was just a job, and then walks away. You know, and that's how I guess that I feel there's more respect to him because of it, because it's not like he's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. He's just like, you know, very humble. So that's why I really like The Rock. And so when he came out, and of course, I think he came out when it was halftime for Monday Night Football.
They need to have something really big to get the audience. Don't get me wrong. This past Monday was not a really good game.
And oh, honestly, no.
Many of the Monday Night Football games that they've had are pretty bad. Thursday nights are also really bad. So, you know, I don't think that they have to do nearly as much for that. But I gotta ask you. Let's talk about the storyline and everything. Obviously, Rock coming back was really cool. It's not gonna be a full time thing. You know, he's not gonna be back really ever. I think that this was just a one time thing. But he didn't bury Rusev, but he definitely came out and, you know, gave him a verbal slacking. What did you think about that?
I wanted to see the people's elbow. I wanted to see it, dude. You have no idea. Because when he came out, I was already having goosebumps, and I was like, they're going to get physical. I really, really hope he gives him the people's elbow. Because he can give him the rock bottom, yeah, big deal. But when he gets the people's elbow, he'll probably have to rip his shirt off, throw it to the crowd, do his thing, and the crowd would have gone nuts. But if you do that, I believe you bury Rusev. That's mm-hmm. the other problem. As much as I wanted to see it, you got to wait for that moment. After he's lost a couple times, then you had The Rock do it.
Yeah, I don't think that it was as much of a burial as some people had said it was. I think instead it was a really great way to have The Rock come out and, you know, give his two cents on the issue. And then, you know, Rusev, actually, if anything else, you're standing in the ring with The Rock. So it kind of makes him look pretty good, too. So I don't think that this was as big of an issue as some people may have made it out to be.
No, it's not that big of a deal. It actually, I think it helped Rusev out, believe it or not.
So, Andy, let's talk about SmackDown real quick. Over on SmackDown, we had another surprising return, which was Johnny Ace.
The Red
John
Rooster?
Laurinaitis.
The Red Rooster?
John Laurinaitis.
Oh, John Laurinaitis. My bad.
Him and Teddy Long. And they came out to talk about who is the best general manager for SmackDown. And, you know, it's their 15th anniversary. So they decided to make a 15-man match. So it was 7.5 versus 7.5, which, of course, as you know, was Hornswoggle and El Torito. Teddy Long won.
Well, hold on a second. No. It's Gator.
Sorry, Gator. It's Gator.
It's now. Not Hornswoggle. It's Gator.
Yes, it's Gator. I got to ask you, do you like these types of gimmick matches?
Honestly, I didn't mind the thing with Hornswoggle and what's his name again?
El Torito.
I didn't mind at first, but I think they're kind of beating the dead horse. If you can do that here and there, but it seems like it's been happening more and more, especially on Main Event. And on Raw, they basically were saying this match is stupid or something like that. Mm-hmm. They were actually chanting that. And I agreed with them for a change because I love seeing those guys wrestle. But this is to the point of, come on, like, come on. But, oh, well. 7.5 versus 7.5, big deal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's kind of funny. I actually don't mind these types of gimmick matches. It's a way to get more people on the card that, you know, otherwise would not have been there, or, you know, that they didn't have anything else for them. And
Zack Ryder?
Obviously he wasn't there. No need for him, right?
Why didn't Hurricane make a surprise return?
Andy.
What?
Let's move on to our next topic, which is Ambrose and Cena.
You don't want to talk about Sugar Shane the Hurricane, but don't call me Gregory Helms.
So Ambrose, him and Cena obviously have some tension. SmackDown a week ago, Cena left Ambrose high and dry. This week, Ambrose, you know, noted that. So he left to go get a hot dog.
Oh, my gosh. By the way, let's talk about first the opening segment where Rollins goes to the crowd and then Ambrose just stands next to him mm-hmm. like nothing's going on. Like, hey, what's up? And then starts beating him. Ambrose, I think, is now turning into Daniel Bryan. The crowd, I believe it. He's not as over. He doesn't have a chant, but I think he just looks normal. And that's the weird part, because if you saw him on the street, you wouldn't think he was a wrestler, but I think that it reminds me of how Stone Cold was. When Stone Cold was out there, he looked like most people when he was, you know, in his work attire or whatever you want to call it, his wrestling attire. But that was the thing. And I think Ambrose, I think he's going to be something big. He's not going to be Rock big, but he's going to be big here shortly.
He'll be big in the wrestling world and, you know, of course,
and maybe the movie role. Remember, he did a movie.
And I don't expect much from that. But I think that, you know, like with most wrestling fans, people obviously compare him to Brian Pillman, which I think is an accurate comparison. I think that that's what he's going to do. And people liked Brian Pillman, and Brian would have been a really big superstar if he didn't tragically pass away. So I think that same thing here with Ambrose. I think Ambrose is a shooting star. WWE is actually doing a really good job with him and Rollins. And I think that both these guys are going to be they're going to be main eventing WrestleMania in 2 years.
Oh, that's a tough one.
In my opinion, one of them.
Yeah. Okay. I think Rollins is good, but I think Dean Ambrose, no matter how I look at it, he's better. But if you had to turn anyone heel, that was the right move. And I think I said before a while back that it was a dumb move. They should have Ambrose turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
Now looking at it, I think it's the right way. I think when he was Tyler Black, he played a good heel. And now he's Seth Rollins. So I think he plays a really good heel as well.
Yeah. And, you know, I was on your bandwagon, too. I actually said it wasn't necessarily that they should have turned Ambrose heel, but is that I don't think that they should have broken him up as soon as they did. I think that they had a little bit more. They could have gone a little bit longer. But, you know, obviously they didn't think that. And, you know, it actually looks like it might have been the right choice, the right call.
You know what? 3 years reunion.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yes. Yeah. Man, I was going to ask you something else. Oh, do you think that they're going to break the Wyatts up?
You know, it kind of looks like they're going to. It kind of looks like that's the route that they're going to go. I don't think that they need to, though, to be honest. I think that they're fine the way they are. But then again, it might, you know, they might do something really good with it like they are doing right now with Ambrose and Rollins.
You know, maybe they'll do something where they bring the Ascension in, have those guys be their, you know, his followers. And then you have Rowan and Harper just go their separate ways. But
yeah, maybe.
Because the thing is, they never win the tag titles. And you know what? I think the only person it's hurt is Rowan, of all people. Because I think Luke Harper is going to be big regardless. But I don't think Rowan is, though. I think he's going to be the Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, I don't see Rowan going anywhere. Harper, I mean, he might be okay, but I don't see a whole lot from him either, to be honest. I don't see a whole lot. I'm not saying that I don't see anything.
Well, no, I believe you're saying that you don't see anything.
No, I'm not saying I don't see anything. I don't see a whole lot, personally.
All right. So,
but actually, Andy, real quick, though, before we get off the whole subject, Ambrose and Cena, we kind of course, talked a lot about Rollins. Ambrose or Cena is going to be at Hell in a Cell, and the winner gets to face Seth Rollins. Who would you have win this match?
Cena. Or actually, and you know what? I already know what's going to happen here. It's going to be double DQ.
Oh.
So then Rollins doesn't face either one of them, and he's safe.
Interesting.
This is, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't think about this earlier. This says that written all over it. So that's what's going to happen. Think that oh my gosh. Gonna be- No, there's not going to be a winner, because what's going to happen is they're going to go at it, give each other finishing moves, and then Kane's going to come in and beat them both up, and then we don't have a manager anymore, so the Authority will just come out and be like, all right, so Noble and Mercury are going to take on... it's going to be Noble, Mercury, and Rollins taking on both of those guys with one arm tied behind their backs.
That actually sounds like a fun match.
Oh my gosh, if they do that, you know they're listening to this. And you know what they are? You know what they should do? They should make their own website, not just WWE.com, but make something else like a blog and use HostGator. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do y'all lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big from items at WWEShop.com. Let's talk Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. There has to be a number two and a number three wrestling promotion, I think, at all times.
Well, no matter what, they'll always be.
Here's the problem, though.
Distant two,
though. Four pay-per-views a year, and they should be huge pay-per-views. Not just one a month, but four a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could care less about this pay-per-view. In fact, I'm not even going to buy it, because I'm going to hear the spoilers at, like, what? Like, I guess it would be 10 a.m. Central mm-hmm. Standard Time. I want to pay for it then. I mean, if it was live, I would pay for it. I wouldn't get an HD, though. I'd get a standard F. Because I refuse to pay the extra $5 to get an HD to give them more money. So my thing is, that's what I do. But the problem is the TNA title being defended? Nope. And we already know that Storm is going to be the new champion later on.
Rude.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rude. Hey, there's Storm. I picture him. Bobby Roode. So here's my problem. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Because we already know Samoa Joe's not going to be the X Division champion.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll, you know, of course, win it. We know that Team 3D is probably going to win as well. And realistically, we know Havoc's going to lose or win because she loses the title to Taryn Terrell later. That's the problem I have with this. Now, let's hypothetically say they just signed a TV deal, you know, before our press time. And going to Bound for Glory, they announce it there that they're going to have a TV deal at this. Okay, that's great. Then they're going to tape new shows if they were to do that. I would understand then. But they're basically planning that they're going to be out of business with the shows they've taped. That's how I look at it. And that's sad. That's really sad.
The thing that I'm a little worried about with this is it almost does feel like a, hey, guys, this is the last one. And it's sad because, you know, as we had talked about, there's not really any big matches. And the TNA title not being defended is actually a really big deal. You know, I criticized WWE a little bit for not defending the title at Hell in a Cell, but I said it's okay as long as you talk about the title. They didn't talk about it this week, by the way, which, you know, annoys me. But this is the biggest pay-per-view of the year. If at WrestleMania you didn't defend the title, that's kind of a joke. Like that's a big deal. If you said, by the way, guys, WWE title will not be defended here. It's like saying, yeah, we're gonna have all these really cool matches, which, you know, obviously we'd still buy it for it, but it would make you go, well, why, like, what's the point? You know, like I'm being entertained, but, you know, there's supposed to be this big prize and you're not even showcasing it. So what's the point of this pay-per-view? And that's the biggest thing. I don't feel like there's been enough buildup. I don't think that there's been enough for me to go, man, I cannot wait to see the Great Sonata take on the Great Muta. Actually, you know what? No, I take that back. That's the only match that I've actually even have any remote interest in. Because the rest of them, it's cross-promotion matches of people I've never heard of and that they, you know, we have no information about. And it's, you know, it's across the ocean. So it's not even like, oh, hey, Michael Elgin, this is a guy that was in Ring of Honor, or, you know, he's going to be taking on some Ring of Honor people. No, these are people that, like, realistically, less than 1% of the wrestling fan population has probably heard of them in the U.S.
Yeah. You know, I'm just looking at this card, and there are some cross-promotional matches that I want to see. Don't get me wrong, I want to see Carter take on Hamana. I really want to see that. And I do like seeing Kaz Hayashi. I haven't seen him in a while. But and I will say I like James Storm. The thing they're doing with James Storm, by the way, is genius. I'm just going to say right now, it's genius. It's so good. That's the most entertaining thing that's going on right now, though. That's sad. That's just sad. So, you know, I really, you know, as much as everyone dogs on TNA and everything, if you don't have guys under contract, honestly, it's just I'm feeling so down because if they haven't figured out what they're going to do here shortly, we might as well just say sayonara. You guys are done.
Honestly, it's going to be really sad for me because while I don't mind reporting WWE stuff because obviously they make it, you know, that's the biggest thing, you know, that's going is WWE. I don't want to just talk about WWE. I want to talk about wrestling.
I know. And the thing is, you have CZW that's actually making a push right now. But honestly, CZW, honestly, I'll watch one a year and then I'm done with them. All right. The Ring of Honor, I like watching the pay-per-views. Like, I do like watching them. That's one thing I will say. I paid for a couple of them and I was impressed. I was like, you know what? These were some great wrestling matches. But there's also a lot of time I don't want to spend 2.5 hours or almost 3 hours watching great matches and fast paced matches. You know, there's sometimes I can do that, but you know, having a couple kids that kind of stops that.
I totally understand. And rightfully so. That's the thing. With TNA, I like them as a second promotion. I actually think that they do a pretty good job as a second promotion, but I'm kind of worried because I think that this pay-per-view, it's saying, guys, we're probably not going to be here much longer.
And that's the sad part. And the fact you do not have your champion there, you don't have the Wolves there, Why?
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're not offering a live version of it as well. That's my gripes right now. They should give it to you so you can watch it live and also the tape version. That's all I ask. And I wouldn't be surprised if someone gets it in Japan, if they have it over there and they air it live there. You could probably start watching it like an hour or two before they actually show the tape version in the United States, which is the sad part. But
yeah, I could see that. I hope that's not the case. But I got to say, TNA, I wish them nothing but luck. I think that this could be a pretty good pay-per-view. I think that it has the potential to be, but it just does not feel like your number one pay-per-view. It doesn't feel that way to me.
And they did not promote the cross-promotional people. They didn't have a little snippet of, like, I don't know. Even if they just blew this off, this impact off, and just had, hey, we're gonna let you know Ethan Carter is taking a Hamana. All right, so you have them, a 5-minute montage or even a 3-minute montage of him, so you get accustomed to him. They're not, they didn't do that. So what's the point? Why have a cross promotional? And the only thing I could think of is that maybe somehow this is going to end up being something with Global Force Wrestling. That's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, but they're not established. That's not that big of a deal. You know, when WCW went over to WWE, it was the two biggest promotions. Upstart going to that, it'd be like CZW attacking TNA. I would say, oh, that's interesting. Who is in CZW? I mean, that's what I would be saying.
You're right, though. There's not guys in there. And Chikara is different. And Chikara is a fun thing to watch. Sometimes I've watched some Chikara stuff and I've fast forwarded through it because the matches, some of them are okay, but the storyline just makes no sense. But oh well. But anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.